If you were following on the screen while Richard read the scripture, the New Testament out of John, and if you're copying along or following along in the Bible, you might have noticed one or two little changes there. And in fact, I highlighted them on the screen because, you see, in English, when we say you, we don't know if you mean you singular or you all. Now, here in Wyoming, when I was a pastor up there, that's how we would say it, you all. I'm not sure that's in the Oxford Dictionary. But I changed it to say all of you, and it makes a difference because Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe the hour is coming when you," talking about her, "will worship the Father, and neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem." But then he's not talking just to her. He says, all of you worship what you do not know. He's talking about Samaritans and pagans and outsiders. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. So you hear how important it is that he's not just speaking to her, but to an entire group of people, those outsiders, those outcasts, those pagans like us. There is a crowd among us today. Can you feel the crowd of witnesses here today? Can you feel the presence of all of those that are witness? They are surrounding us. Today I strongly feel the presence of Richard Stevens, brother that was ill and struggled and hurt, and his body gradually failed. And now free, his spirit, and his spirit is among us. Amen? A bittersweet realization. But we have a cloud of witnesses around us because this is Human Relations Sunday. And Human Relations Sunday, I get all excited about Human Relations Sunday. Some people have accepted it better than when we called it Martin Luther King Sunday and Martin Luther King Birthday. Some people just didn't feel okay about that. And indeed, there are things about Martin Luther King that prove his humanity. He made mistakes. He erred. He had feet of clay. I cannot condemn. I likewise have made mistakes in my life. Those of you who have not, feel free to attack in whatever ways you might want to do. It got awfully quiet. But we talk about Human Relations Sunday for another reason, because there is a lot to be talking about. I remember when I first was in my first full-time appointment, and there were controversies in the church. Can you imagine? Oh, Barbara's behind me just in total shock. But one of the members of the staff parish relations committee, wonderful man, he said, "Why don't we don't need to talk about these controversial things. It just stirs people up. Let's just not talk about these things." And he meant well. And I understood. And a piece of me said, "You're right. Let's just gather in church and do all the fun things and all the things that bring us together and the things we hug about." But one of the spirits gathered with us here this morning is Sojourner Truth. Have you ever heard of Sojourner Truth? A black woman, unable to read or write. She was New York. And she was an outspoken woman. And she had come to church and they had not allowed her to speak. And they finally allowed her to stand and speak. And one of the things she said, "Well, children, where there is so much racket, there must be something out of kilter." Isn't that just exactly right? And can we deny there has been much racket? Amongst the COVID, it seems like it's been pushed back some, but it's still there. It isn't gone. There is much going on. For Sojourner Truth, it was the basics of saying a woman who does the same job as a man should be paid the same as a man. She says, "I do just as much work, and ain't I a woman?" That has become her speaking point. But there are things out of kilter, and they have to be talked about. Should we avoid them? Should we not speak about controversial things? Well, tell that to Jesus. Think about that. If he had not disturbed things, if he had not stirred up a hornet's nest, maybe he could have done ministry for 30, 40, 50 years. Think of how much could have been written. Think of how many more people he could have healed. Think of how much more could have been done. But no, he knew that some things had to be confronted. He called out injustices. He drove the money lenders out of the temple because they were abusing religious obligations to make profit. Nothing more heretical. Martin Luther King said, "The ultimate measure of a person is not where they stand in moments of comfort and convenience, but where they stand at times of challenge and controversy." That does call us into question, and it worries me because I don't always have my head on completely straight in those moments that are stirred up. Am I the only one? So we turn. This is not going to be quotes from Dr. King. There are a few in here, but all of those other witnesses speak out to some of us. And these formative people are a part of our heritage, of our history. Susan B. Anthony. How many of you remember when the Susan B. Anthony coin came out? I thought, this is pretty exciting. I wonder who the heck Susan B. Anthony is. Didn't really know. Actually, at one point in time, I probably had a Susan B. Anthony. Don't know. But she was advocating, again, for the equality of women. Her quote, "Resistance to tyranny is obedience to God." That's a mouthful. And that's a call, and that's something that she was very, very strongly about. Women were expected to stay home in that day and age. If you had to go somewhere, you were supposed to have a man take you or someone to escort you and lead you around. And there was an invention that came along just at that point in time. Do you know what it was? It was the bicycle. And God forbid women could ride bicycles. And it was freeing them to go out and do things. It was a big deal. It was a big deal. And the bicycle was central to what she was about. And she believed that it would change society. Maybe it had a huge piece in that. She said, "She who succeeds in gaining the mystery of the bicycle will gain the mastery of life." Kind of a funny statement for today. But nonetheless, she's talking about equality. So gender and gender equality is one of those human relation questions and issues. There's more. Do you remember hearing about Mohandas K. Gandhi? The little guy from India, the funny little guy that walked around, seemed to be walking around in poverty all the time. Beware that he said and admitted, "A lot of people pay a lot of money to maintain me in my poverty." And that was true as well. But what he said is important. He said, the greatness of humanity is not in being human, but in being humane. Humane. Jesus said it another way. He said, love one another as I have loved you. How about Desmond Tutu? Have you ever seen a video of Desmond Tutu? He's always smiling and kind of laughing, and he has a joke, and you want to be just joking and laughing along with him, but underneath, he has a serious part that just helps you understand that he is a God-driven person. He is full of the Spirit. Here's a quote I picked out. "If you are neutral in situations of injustice, you have chosen the side of the oppressor. If an elephant has its foot on the tail of a mouse, and you say you are neutral, the mouse will not appreciate your neutrality." Desmond Tutu, a leader, a man inspired. And we are called to that and called to action. You've heard of Nelson Mandela, imprisoned in the apartheid system of South Africa, imprisoned for decades, and imprisoned in a situation most abhorrent, and yet he converted his own jailer. His own jailer became one of his dearest friends and one of his converts. Here is a man of love. He said, no one is born hating another person because of the color of their skin or their background or their religion. People must learn to hate. And if they can learn to hate, they can be taught to love. For love comes more naturally to the human heart than its opposite. What wisdom, what voice, what reparation, what repeating of Jesus' mandate, love one another. Here is the way to be. Do you recall the disciples and Jesus traveled to a village and they rejected them? And the disciples said, Lord, shall we call down fire and brimstone down on the village? No. Just brush the dust off of your feet and move on. We are not about anything but love. 2:2 again, he said, when we see others as the enemy, we risk becoming what we hate. When we oppress others, we oppress ourselves. All of humanity is dependent on recognizing the humanity in others. Everyone seeing one another as brother and sister. Amen. If you have studied the Bible even a little bit, some of you have studied it quite a bit. I bet you Melba's read it more times than I've been years alive. I just have that feeling. Mark is a biblical scholar. I know, because every time I start to jump into something, he already knows where we're going. Most of you have some strong biblical background. Some of you not so much. That's okay. But if you've touched into that biblical background, you will have read in various places about God bringing a leader who will be about justice and righteousness, who will speak against all of those unequal things, those unjust things, who will lead and be true, and who is worthy to follow. We understand that Christ is that leader, but we understand that it is what God is calling us to be and what we are mandated to. Human Relations Sunday. And Jesus is traveling. Some scholars contend that he should not have even ended up in Samaria. The way that they're traveling, there was a way to avoid it because Samaria was a bad place for anybody who was Jewish to be. If you were a good Jewish person, you would not be in Samaria. Before I lived in this area, people outside the Denver metro area would say East Colfax is a den of iniquity and sin. It was well known that a good person would not be seen in East Colfax. I think about that sometimes when I'm driving down the street. Has it changed? Because it certainly doesn't seem to live up to the reputation it purportedly had at that point in time. But there are places, you understand what I'm saying. There are places we should not be. And Samaria was one of those. And Jesus and his disciples are traveling, and they travel through Samaria, some say intentionally. The disciples go to hunt food and stuff. Jesus is tuckered out. Oh, isn't that wonderful? We hear that Jesus is human. He's tuckered out. I can understand that. He can understand me, fully human. But he's tired and he's resting at the well, and a woman comes and he talks to her. Her response is just awesome. What is it that you, a Jew, is doing speaking to me? I'm a woman from Samaria. Jews do not speak to women from Samaria. Jews don't have anything to do with Samaritans. I can't believe that we are having a conversation. She is amazed, startled. They're not supposed to interact. Bad blood from generations prior. And they are outcast. And they are not allowed. This is a social ill. This is discrimination indeed. But there's judgment and vilification. These are evil people, Samaritans. That's why I chose the Ecclesiastes scripture that Richard read this morning. Again, I saw all the oppressions that are practiced under the sun. Look the tears of the oppressed with no one to comfort them. No one to comfort them, the oppressed and all of that going on. But here Jesus comes to the well, and here is the Samaritan woman. And Jesus breaks conventions, and he engages her. He greets the woman as an equal, as a sister. The picture's on the front of your bulletin and here on the screen. Doesn't she look like a sweet lady? It looks like a wonderful time and a greeting. And in the background, you see people listening. Is that the disciples? Is that the villagers? We don't know. But this is an astonishing event, and they're looking on. I noted the author in the bulletin. I don't have him in the front of me as I speak. Martin Luther King says, love is the only force capable of transforming an enemy into a friend. And she is transformed. And she goes and tells all the people. And some of the people believe because of what she tells them. Some of them believe because they come and they meet Jesus. They come and they meet him, and they are converted and convinced as well. And not only that, not only is this a wonderful interaction and just one of those blessed moments, but Jesus and the disciples stay with them for several days. They share hospitality. That's unheard of. That's unspeakable. I was looking for a picture for the cover of the bulletin, and I found this one. But I found it second. I found another one before that. Diana, do we have that other photograph? Could you? The next slide. The woman at the well. I have always envisioned that other woman. But here, if you can't see it, perhaps you're not aware. She's bell bottoms and tight jeans. Hair's brushed back. She's putting on lipstick. Have you ever thought maybe that Samaritan woman wasn't that innocent poor child that Jesus turns to that we envision? Maybe she was more of a flirt. Maybe she was a little bit more arrogant. Maybe she was a modern woman. I don't know if that's the right phrase. I'll lay it out there for a moment. But the epiphany that hit me was, oh my goodness, Jesus isn't just reaching out to a different societal group, but to a different mindset, and to a woman who might not have been chaste, may not have been pure, may not have been beloved, and not easily lovable. And yet he would have reached out to her anyway. So the woman at the well pushes us to say, who is it that we don't allow ourselves to reach out to, that we judge as we see them, the moment we decide, we take one glance and we know all about them, and some we don't have anything to do with. And yet Jesus does, and he calls us to do so. Galatians, we didn't read it, but I want to read a piece of it. In Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. Through our faith, we're all children of God. And as many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself in Christ. And you know this part. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus. That's the word. And the other word I want to share, because it is such a delight that God inspired the tongue of Dr. Martin Luther King to say, I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. This is Human Relations Sunday. This is where we stop, take our own pulses and assess if we have transgressed in any way. God, open our eyes that we might see that. That's why that hymn was there. Open our eyes that we might find all that is just and equal. And God, give us courage to take action upon that and to love one another. Amen. Amen.